Hey, what's up? What's up, everybody? It's your boy State from the State of the New York Knicks podcast, episode 137. Damn, I came a long way. I appreciate my co-host, Mr. Mitchell. We got a special guest in the building for the first time on the pod, and I'm so glad that you agreed to come on my pod because I've been meaning to get one of you guys for about a year now. So I'm so glad. But we got Pat from the Knicks Wall podcast and the Knicks Wall articles. Y'all write great articles. I appreciate what y'all doing over there, man. How you doing, Pat?
Thank you. Thank you. Doing well. How you doing?
I'm all right, bro. I'm all right. I'm at work, but, you know, the grind never stops, man.
I feel you. I'm losing it a little bit without Knicks basketball, man. I need Knicks basketball back.
Man, well, better than... Well, last year, I wanted Knicks basketball to go away, to be honest.
Yeah. Just make it stop, please.
It was like one of those nightmares from the Freddy Krueger movies. And he just got me stuck in a loop. Yeah. Man. Last year was bad. Bro.
With Fizdale standing there smiling.
Oh, my God. Before you get into the pod, remember the game, bro? We was down 40. To the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh,
bro.
Man. All I can think of is that picture of him standing there smiling with the scoreboard in the bottom. Then they're down by like 50 and he's standing there clapping and smiling.
And
the joke was on me cuz I watched every second of that game.
you what's extra funny about that, bro? I remember losing that game. I went on Twitter and I was defending Fizdale.
Hey, man.
I want to explain.
Yeah.
I was only defending him because I felt like management constructed this roster. Like, I felt like he had little say-so
right. With
constructing the roster, and I felt like he had little say-so with the minutes. Like, the minutes was just disgusting.
Yeah.
And the rotations.
It was so strange. You thought that there's no way he could willingly be doing this, you know?
He said willingly. Oh, God. Man. Oh, man. All right, man. That's so funny, man. The Knicks is a team, man. Jekyll and Hyde, man.
Oh, yeah. We know it all too well.
All right, man. Let's get right into it, man.
Yeah.
The people got to know, bro. Like, how did you become a part of the Knicks Wall? Like, when did the Knicks Wall start? Like, I always wanted to ask one of you guys that, what was the thought process behind that? And also, I want to know who or what inspires you to do your work that you do today?
So the Knicks Wall, it was revived. I can't speak to when it was originally founded, but I know it was revived back in the Mellow days, because it originally started out on Facebook. That's why it's called the Knicks Wall, because it was like a Facebook wall, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. And then when it was revived in the Mellow days, they obviously took their platform to Twitter. That's how I got to know Knicks Wall, from Twitter. And when I joined about like 6 months ago, I think it was, as a social media guy, like, I grew up with those 2010 Knick teams. Yep. And like, I had friends who were Knick fans, but none like me. And so when I was watching these games, most of the times I'd be watching these games constantly, like, refreshing Twitter. And it's like, I'm watching the games with these random people on Twitter. Like the Knicks Twitter community kind of was like, That's who I would talk to during these games. And obviously Knicks Wall was a big part of that. And so like this past fall, when I decided I wanted to like try and find a way to break into sports media, I immediately thought of Knicks Wall, and obviously they rep my favorite team. And I grew up tweeting back and forth with these guys, like through the good and the bad and everything. So it was kind of a no-brainer when I thought I wanted to do that. And I'm glad they took me in too.
That's nice, bro.
Yeah.
That's nice, bro. What the hell made you a Knicks fan, bro? We gotta know. We gotta know, bro. Cause it seemed like, you know, what you do is just for the love of it. Like, you really enjoy what you do. Like, it's no,
yeah,
it's, that's your personal motivation. Like, it seems like it's nobody behind that.
It really is, yeah.
So what the hell made you a Knicks fan?
That is a tough, it's a lot of things. I think growing up, I had a full-on obsession with Stephon Marbury. I was a huge Marbury kid.
Love Marbury.
I had the red, white, and blue Starburys growing up. Those $15 shoes that he made. I had like three pairs of them.
I remember those. Yeah. They used to sell them in VIA.
Yes.
I remember those.
Yes. Yeah. So I was just a diehard Marbury fan growing up. I had his jersey, that black jersey with the orange and blue ticker down the side. I remember that. But yeah, there was a lot of things, obviously. I mean, I was born in Jersey, so, but I remember just growing up, gravitating toward Marbury. And that was when I was young. I was like 7 and 8 years old, really. But I remember just being a big Marbury fan growing up.
Right. Well, that's cool because, you know, Marbury became a Nick. And sadly, we had Isaiah Thomas at the same time.
Yeah. Oh,
and you know what's crazy from that era, bro? Like, I got PTSD from that era.
Oh, God, yeah.
So when people talk trades, and they talk, you know, let's put Frank, Knox, RJ in a package, and let's get a super. I'd be like, whoa. I don't think I want to trade my young boys right now.
Yeah.
So let's stop the trading.
Yeah.
I still remember the night when we traded for Andres Bargnani.
Oh, man. that name sent shivers down my spine, bro.
Not even that. Like, I could go further than that. Like, I remember we traded two first-round picks for Tracy McGrady, yeah, thinking that LeBron was going to come in. I remember when Isaiah Thomas traded every goddamn first pick on the name. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, it brings back good. But you know what? We come into this season, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, this season was – it was up in the air. You know, I don't think – I didn't expect for this to happen. What's happening right now in front of us? Like, I didn't expect none of this to happen. Yeah. So let's transition to Julius Randle.
Yep.
And, you know, he's probably the first free agent, bro, within the past 20 years I've seen. Shout outs to Jerome James.
right.
Who has come here and actually produced. And I want to know, you know, how you feel about Randle now? Like, how did you feel about him last season, right? And then
yeah,
now this season, how do you feel about him?
Well, I mean, I'll be the first to admit it. I wanted Randle gone after last season. I mean,
I'm with you.
I mean, I thought, like, especially, and it wasn't, I wasn't hating. Like, it was just, I didn't see the roster as, there was no sense in keeping him. Like, he made too much sense to trade. I thought that was my strong opinion going into the season. But again, I don't really think I was alone there. Just the way they were losing a lot last season and the way he played, it was frustrating. But I think this season, obviously, it's been a total 180. Now I want to, like, give him the max, get this guy locked up. but I think that shows my Knick fandom a little bit. But
yeah.
This season, I mean, he's passing the ball way more, which I think is the clear, most obvious change in his game. You know,
RJ Barrett hasn't clapped for the
exactly.
ball.
Exactly. And when he's driving to the basket, he's not spinning and, like, chucking the ball up at the hoop that, like, we all hated last season. Like, a lot of times now when he's driving, he's kicking the ball out, like, making that extra mm-hmm. pass and getting a good shot. And so I think, I mean, it sounds simple, but that's really that's made the team that much better, and it's made him that much better. He's averaging, I think, like 6 assists, which is pretty crazy. I think he was averaging 3 last season. So
yeah, that boy Randle is playing so well, bro.
It's crazy.
I think I was thinking I'm gonna lead the Randall hate train. And it seemed like I got off that train real fast. Yeah. Because Randall now has 10 25-point, 10-rebound, 5-assist games. Already the second most in the season in Knicks history. So that's crazy. Then he also becomes the first Knicks player with 10+ 25 points, 10 rebounds, 5-assist games in a season since 1983.
Wild. Who would have thought?
Bro, I didn't think he was this good. Like, I remember growing up, and I remember him at Kentucky. And I loved him at college. You know, I remember years
ago. Yeah, he was a beast at UK.
Beast? Bro, it was so far back. I literally went to my Facebook, typed in Julius Randle, just to make sure, like, I wasn't lying to myself. So I had a post, and it said Randle had 22 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks. So I'm like, okay, I've been a Randle fan. I don't want to
just making sure this is the same dude.
Yeah. Just making sure. And, you know, we see Randle going crazy like this. And then that led me to actually, you know, so you're not interested in trading him?
I mean, I think the proposition of trading him goes as the team goes. Like, if it turns out that this isn't sustainable and the Knicks start losing a ton of games again, like it's last season, then there's no sense really to hold on. Like, it would make sense to trade him if they're doing a rebuild, but it doesn't really look like there's any reason to trade him right now. I mean, he's got him in a playoff push. I can't see. I think, I don't know what the front office is thinking, but it's, you build around him. You've got your core of him and RJ, and you build around them. I mean, they've shown that they've got chemistry together. And the thing is, though, he's shooting 40% from three. And last season he shot like 25% from three or 28. Yeah.
28.
So like,
I've been setting on so many pies, bro. I know that number by heart.
Yeah, exactly. So that is a crazy jump for one season. So I think we're going to learn a lot this second half. In Portland, is that 3-point shooting number for him? Is that sustainable? Because him being a threat to shoot from three opens up so much of the offense. His shooting in general alone is extremely important to the team. So I think we're about to find out how sustainable his play is, and I really hope it's sustainable.
So I know you read the article that came out about Julius Randle from the Players.
Yes, Tribune. That was great.
And beautiful, yeah. Beautiful art. Beautiful.
Amazing.
Oh, the article was so well written, bro. I felt stupid slandering Randle as I was reading the article.
I felt proud. I wanted to say sorry.
So right now I'm in a Knicks Twitter thread, and all my thread mates forced me to apologize. We demand you to apologize, and I apologize. And you know, the one thing that I read from that article that really stuck out to me, bro, was the part about his son.
Yeah,
and you know, his son watches him play. And his son was watching his body language, watching how he was soaking on the court, you know, watching how, you know, just the little things. His son was watching. And Randle was like, you know, I took that personal. You know, I took this season seriously, man. I wanted to prove to New York that I wanted to be here.
He really has. And the thing is, I mean, he's got a pretty fat contract. And he heard all the rumors this offseason that they wanted him to be traded. So it would have been easy for him to just kind of pack it in and be like, yo, we're going to suck again. Like, I'm just going to do what I do and get traded at the deadline and take it from there. But he really took it to another level. And it's really gives you pride to see it. I love it.
Yeah, man. I love it, bro. And it was beautiful to read that article. And, you know, to watch Randle in the All-Star game, too damn bad that the every guard was just
trying to breach. I know. Like, Donovan Mitchell took about, like, 30 shots when I was yelling at him to pass the ball to Julius. I had to remind myself it was the All-Star game. But
Me too. I'm looking at Tatum. I'm like, yo, Tatum, you take a step back three. Can you pass the game, brother?
Yeah.
But how did you did you like the All-Star game? For me, it was one of the worst All-Star games.
Yeah, I really didn't think it was anything. I'm not a fan of doing all the events on one night. I mean, obviously they had to do that because of COVID, but I don't think it was the preferred method. I thought the dunk contest was pretty tough, and I was trying to enjoy it as much as I could because of Obi. But it's just gone. I mean, remember that dunk? I forget how long ago it was. The Aaron Gordon and the Zach LaVine dunk contest.
Exactly. Which one?
2015? Yeah, both of them, honestly. 2015? And it's like those were so good. Like, how did we get here? You know, but I don't know. Hopefully next season with a normal All-Star weekend, the dunk contest is back. I did like the three-point. I like the 3-point contest.
Oh, loved
Steph,
it, bro.
Steph is loved something it. Special.
Yo, you know, Steph Curry. You know, every time I see him shoot the ball, I think of Jordan Hill. You know,
it's come on, man.
I'm so mad at the Knicks right now. Like, I was even kind of mad at the Knicks for not trading up.
Yeah,
LaMelo.
I know. I kind of wanted that too. And I mean, that, he's looked amazing so far.
Amazing, bro. I was so mad at the Knicks for not trading LaMelo. I forgot what was the trade package I put together. It was probably Mitch, the 8th pick. I don't care.
Yeah.
But, you know, shout outs to the Knicks management office.
Right.
I think that's the next transition we should do before we talk about the rest of the roster. Because these are the guys who picked Randle. And another article comes out today. So I'm so glad we get to talk together today.
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting article. I enjoyed that.
Bruh, beautiful article. I love the fact that, you know, Leon Rose, the way he built and structured the management was beautiful. Now, Knicks fans, y'all better be lucky Thibodeau didn't get
it. Oh, man, yeah. I read that. That had that was the first thought I had. I was like, could you imagine?
Oh, my God. I could only imagine if Tibbs traded R.J. Barrett. The pitchfork.
Oh, my God.
Him, man. I'm not
I think it's safe to say Thibodeau is not getting any GM jobs anytime soon.
Hell no. But, you know, we got Leon Rose. You know, let's talk about everybody's choice, right? Because when you're a president of basketball operations, you got to manage egos. You got to, you know, stroke people's egos. You got to talk to certain people. You got to do a favor here and there. So from this offseason, right, Leon Rose, he's the guy from that article, basically. He's the guy who won the Obi Toppin. Tom Thibodeau, he's the guy who won it. Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson. Scott Perry, you know, Alfred Payton, even though I hate Alfred Payton's guts. He stinks, bro. I don't care what nobody's doing, bro. I cannot
stand Alfred. Maybe I'll save my Alfred talk for if we get into that later, but I can't stand the guy.
And then you got Brock Ahler. Salute to Brock Ahler, too. Because he was the guy who challenged Tom Thibodeau and said, no, we don't need to spend the cap space on this type of these type of contracts. He wanted to get 1-year deals in, and he got Austin Rivers, Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel. Even though I hate Alec Burks because he thinks he's and he wants to dribble, and it's annoying. And then you got William Wesley, Worldwide West, and he was banging the table. We gotta get quickly. And just to hear that type of stuff coming from management, people writing beautiful articles about us. What did you get from that article that made you be like, I'm comfortable with this?
So,
what Knicks is doing right
I mean,
now.
The first reading that and seeing how all the guys you just listed, how they each had different, none of them were in agreement. I thought that I was like, wow, Leon Rose has some has some balls bringing these guys together who with all who are just all have very strong opinions and like and thank
yeah.
I mean thank God it's worked out. Obviously Leon Rose is helping be like the peacemaker and making sure everyone's opinions get heard, but that was my first. I was like, holy shit, how is this working with all of these big personalities? Like, it's crazy. Like, good. It's a good thing something didn't go all one way or the other way or something. I thought it was good that they all, as intense as it was, they were able to all like come together on something.
Real quick, before you continue, you ever watched?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Leon Rose right now is Lex Luthor, and he's in the Legion of Doom, the helmet head that used to come out. He's sitting at the table with all the evildoers. So now they all trying to congregate. So that's how I feel about Leon
that is
Rose.
A great comparison. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. I mean, I love it.
So, you know, we got a beautiful management. We got beautiful management, you know. We 19 and 18. It's crazy. We in the middle of the season
crazy.
Right now. And what was your, before we, you know, stop talking about management and we can get to the rest of the roster, what was your original thoughts about Thibodeau? I'm gonna give you mine real quick. Bro, Nick Nation, I didn't want Thibodeau. I remember sitting in my mother's house watching the Bulls versus the 76ers. 2 minutes left. The Bulls is up double-digit points. And I watched Derrick Rose do that goddamn hop step and tear his ACL. And I hated Thibodeau ever since. Ever since I hated him. But, you know, I love Thibodeau now. So, how did you feel about Thibodeau before the season and then now? Did you want Thibodeau?
So, I was a little conflicted on it because I've always thought of Thibodeau as the ultimate win now type of coach. Like he can take some not great rosters and make them compete. And so I was kind of confused. I was like, why did he pick the Knicks? Cause it kind of contradicted what the front office was saying. Like, so I just thought it was strange, but now I see how it's all there. He's maximizing this roster to its fullest extent. I mean, it's not too different from the roster that Fizdale had. He's maximizing this roster to his fullest extent, but they still have all this cap space to potentially take on some bad contracts if they had to, or to acquire some more draft picks. I think it's worked really well. I was a little skeptical with, as everyone was, I think, like Dibs is known for running young players into the ground and all that. And we've certainly, I mean, Randall leads the league in minutes. So, that's another, goes back to my point about if his play is sustainable for the second half. I mean, you hope his minutes don't catch up to him. But every time they ask Randall about his minutes, he's like, yeah, I feel good. I'm ready to go. So I guess we'll see how long that lasts.
I think it will last only because I think Tibbs learned from his last stop.
Right.
And I think that's the reason why he has such a strong developmental team. But also, I think the infrastructure is better. I think the health, our health team is better. The way we train is better. You know, the little things, bro. I think everything is better. So I'm not really too concerned. I'm not concerned about Randall's minutes. Or RJ Barrett's minutes. You know, we got two guys in the top 10 right now. In minutes, and it's tough, bro. I wish that Thibodeau. My only gripe with him, honestly, is sometimes his rotation sucks.
That is my only gripe too. Same exact complaint.
And it's like, bro, this is not 2K with the fatigue off. I'm gonna need you to stop playing these dudes 11 minutes straight in the first quarter. And then when you bring it back,
he's stubborn with those rotations. He refuses to switch them up. That brings me to my whole Elfrid Payton point. Like, what? Like, I get that he is part of the starting unit. And when everyone, I mean, sometimes when I'm on the tweets for Knicks Wall during games and like I'm tweeting shit about Elfrid Payton and people are like, oh, you're being too hard on him. Like, dude, or when he has a good game, everyone's in my mentions like, look at Elfrid now. Like, even even when Elfrid has a quote-unquote good game, he's putting up like 20 shots and the rest of the offense isn't doing shit. So even when he has these good games, the offense falls flat. I'm not even saying Quickly should be starting like a lot of people say. I wouldn't mind it, but I think that should so clearly be Derrick Rose, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they move Elfrid, but that's how I feel.
Bro, let's be real. Bro, let's be real. Let's be real. We know Tibbs and Mo.
Yeah.
Do you think that when Derrick Rose got two healthy legs, he's not going to start?
Exactly. Exactly.
So I think Tibbs did Elfrid a courtesy call real quick. Because I don't think he's going to start for the Knicks when we come back from the break. And
he really shouldn't.
And Frank Ntilikina, I don't give a damn what nobody say. He deserves to play. I'm tired of the carousel with the rosters. I don't know about you.
I have been Frank Hive from the jump. I have never left the Frank Hive.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when the season started and Frank wasn't getting – I mean, if there's one thing we all know, it's that Frank Ntilikina can play defense. And when he wasn't getting minutes for Tom Thibodeau, I was – this might be the end of the road for Frank. Like, the ultimate defensive-minded coach wasn't giving Frank minutes. But then, all of a sudden, here he comes off the bench playing great defense, and he is unconscious from three. Like nothing we've ever. I think he's shooting something like 60% or something crazy.
66% from three. I think it was laughable. Yeah. I know it's laughable. It's laughable. And I think he's shooting 45%.
That is crazy. So I mean, another thing, is that sustainable? I know he hasn't gotten a ton of minutes or attempts, but I wouldn't mind seeing him eat into some of Reggie Bullock's minutes going forward.
So you think Frank Ntilikina's a wing?
I have been on that train. I think he's much better off the ball than at point guard.
You know, I just joined that train about two games ago. You know, I always thought Frank Ntilikina was a point guard. But then, you know, people saying, he's a wing, bro. I'm telling you, he's a wing. Put him on the wing. He's going to flourish. Now I'm seeing him at the wing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
I think, he could be the ultimate, like, 3-and-D guy that they want Reggie Bullock to be. I think Frank can do it just as good, if not better, and he's younger. And I don't know. I personally, that's what I'd like to see. But I know that I'm not hating on Reggie. He's a decent shooter and plays good defense. He does some boneheaded stuff sometimes, but so does Frank. So
yeah, but I'm gonna be real with you, bro. I'm sick of Reggie Bullock too. I'm just sick of Bullock, Burks, and Elfrid. Like I'm just sick of
them. Yeah, when we've got younger options on our bench who have shown they're capable and who are just sitting there not getting any playing time, it's kind of like we know these guys can produce and give you a similar product. Why not just give them a shot? So, I don't know.
No, but that's Tibbs and Mo. I guess when the kids play less and they do get in the game,
they
look better. Because look at Frank Ntilikina. I've never once in my I think in the past 4 years, bro, this is probably the first season I've ever watched Frank, and he does not hesitate.
Yeah.
I'm not cringing. Like, I'm not. Come on, Frank. You do that, man? Come on, dog. So, that's nice to see. And then, you know, you brought up Elfrid Payton. We're in agreement. We both hate Elfrid Payton. Another guy, though, you know, since we're talking about the guards, Emmanuel Quickly, who got a D+. What was it?
A D-plus from CBS Sports. Give them all the slander.
So they deserve all of the slander that they get. That was a disgusting, you know, that was disgusting for them to put that out. I think it's just Knicks media hate, Knicks bias. Prime example, you know, quickly didn't make the All-Star roster. I mean, not the All-Star rosters.
The Rising Stars game. That was stupid. That was whack. He should have made that.
Nonsense. And he's putting up 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists on 40% from the field, 40% from 3, 94% from the free throw line. The last person who shot 94% plus from the free throw line as a rookie and has made as many free throws or more as Chris Mullin.
That's a good stat.
So quickly, is going to be a damn good shooter in this NBA for a long time. Damn good shooter. Well, you got guys like Anthony Edwards shooting 37% from the field, 31% from 3. How do you feel about Quickly? What's your take on him? And also, I want to know, do he piss you off sometimes with his playmaking? Because sometimes I watch him, bro, and I love the kid, but take the Alonzo Trier nonsense out of your game, son. Pass it.
Yeah. I'll start with the good. First of all, thank God the Knicks drafted this guy. We'll get into Obi, I'm sure, later, but if they did not draft IQ, this year's draft would not be looking too hot. IQ's role on this team has been a shooter. He's by far one of the best shooters on the team, and that's primarily, I mean, some of these threes he hits are from way behind the line, and the fact that in today's NBA, like that's what I mean. You watch the All-Star game, Dame and Steph pulling up from like behind half court. That's the All-Star game, but there's people are shooting from anywhere, and I'm just happy the Knicks finally got one of these guys. Like they've got this lethal shooter who can shoot from anywhere. And that's not even without even mentioning his floater game. When he drives, that floater is lethal. And his ability to get defenders up in the air, like he draws fouls like a veteran. But that is my one kind of complaint. Sometimes I think he looks for the foul too much. When he should just focus on either making the next pass or getting the shot up. Like, he's leaning into it too much, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree, but I don't mind a flop on our team, bro. I never had a flop.
That's true.
I don't mind it, you know? So people saying, you know, the Knicks need three-point shooting. They need three-point shooting. You know, Derrick Rose, 46% from 3. Julius Randle, he's shooting 40% from 3. Alec Burks, 41%. Quickly, 39%. I'm just rounding it off. Reggie Bullock, 39%. RJ Barrett, 35%. Shout-outs to my boy Kevin Knox, too, because we're going to talk about him after Obi Toppin. But Kevin Knox is shooting 39%. Now, Quickly, do you see him as a future as a point guard of the future, or you see him as a six-man combo guard?
As a point guard of the future, I think he's more than a combo guard. I mean, he played Dwayne at Kentucky, but prior to that in high school, I mean, in his interviews, he was a point guard in high school. He always talks about how much he likes playing point guard. I don't know. I think he should be the point guard of the future. I don't know. I don't think you're gonna get anyone better than him. And especially where they drafted him, it's like. But I think he's just not starting because he's a rookie, and that's kind of another that goes back to Thibs's like MO. Like when they were asking him when he was feeling the heat, like why isn't IQ starting, and he was saying, you know, he's a rookie, you got to keep him humble, all that. Like that is such a Thibs thing to do. That. I think that one of the major reasons why he's not starting is things like that. So I think maybe next season, if who knows which of these vets are back at the point guard spot, but I th- I, I fully think he's the point guard of the future for sure.
Please, God, don't.
Yeah, I didn't mention his name specifically. I didn't even want to speak it into existence.
Oh my God! Please don't, bro. Please, God, no, bro. I've never seen a Nick.
Yeah,
I hate
it's
so much.
It's tough. And that I was just gonna. He has no. He's not a threat to shoot at all, and so like he can drive when he makes his layups and whatever. But when he put the other guys on the floor, if he's not a threat to shoot from outside, the spacing is so much worse. Like especially with RJ, that's what another topic. But when RJ's minutes go hand in hand with Elford's minutes, and it pisses me off so much because I think too, RJ plays so much better with a point guard who's an actual threat to shoot, like IQ or even D Rose. So it opens up the floor for him more when he's out there with those guys. So hopefully in the second half of the season, we'll see some different rotations from Thibs where we get to maybe see RJ with those guys. But I don't know. Maybe that's wishful thinking.
Nah, I think you will. Like I said before, Derrick Rose is right. Thibs' son, bro. So I think we covered in that department. You know, most 25-point games among all rookies this season. Emmanuel quickly has 5. Anthony Edwards got 3. LaMelo Ball got 3. Most free throws made among all rookies this season. Of course, Emmanuel quickly leads all the rookies at 98 makes, and Anthony Edwards has 80. Minutes played. Quickly has played damn near 400 minutes less than Anthony Edwards. So it's obviously looking like the NBA is a popularity contest because why the hell is Zion Williamson started in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
He had no business starting.
I know.
They should have started Randle. And why the hell quickly can't get picked for the rookie sophomore game? He's leading all rookies in PER this season.
He's third, and he's third, and most sites have him third or second in rookie of the year vote. I mean, it seems like that's probably going to go to LaMelo if LaMelo keeps it up. But as far as second goes, it's him and Edwards pretty much everywhere I see. So how can you not have that dude in the rising stars game? It's really called the rising stars game, and this dude's a rising star. He fits the bill too well.
You know, the NBA be on a popularity contest. Some nonsense, man. They be killing me with that. But you know, let's get into this next guy, man. I guess we could save RJ Barrett for last because he's the savior. This guy, Obi Toppin. How can I say this? At the beginning of the season, I wanted Randle traded because I wanted to see Obi Toppin play more than 20 minutes per game. I knew Thibodeau was not going to play Obi a lot of minutes, but for us to watch Obi get cups of coffee for Randle, 6 minutes a half. And I'm sitting here, I'm watching Obi only play 20, he only plays 12 minutes a game. But the thing that I'm most annoyed with is he's playing this amount of minutes and he's 23 already. If he was 19, bro, I don't think we would even be having this discussion.
I know his birthday was the other day, and the NBA account tweeted out like "Happy 23rd birthday at Obi Toppin," and I was like, "God damn, 23."
Oh God, he's 2 years.
I know.
Older than Kevin Knox, and people want to throw Knox out the window.
Yeah, like it's been a confused. The pick has confused me since day one. Honestly, At the time of the draft, we all were still – when I say we, I'm talking about Knicks fans in general. We wanted to trade Julius Randle. And so when this pick was made, we were like, okay, Obi is his replacement. And now I think this front office has gotten more out of Julius than they expected, which means less playing time for Obi. Because, I mean, those two can't be on the floor together. It's a – spacing nightmare. And I'm not calling him a bust. I'm not ready to make any statements on him, definitive statements. I think he'll develop into a good player. It's just kind of hard to see what you've got when he's playing 12 minutes a game, and I don't think it's anyone's fault. It's just kind of it is
No.
what the situation is right now.
So, you know, we got Julius Randle. He's an all-star. So I think, you know, we can make excuses as to why, you know, Obi's not playing a lot of minutes. But he does have a 63% effective field goal percentage and averages a point as the role man in pick and roll situations. But we don't
yeah.
run enough pick and rolls for him. We don't
exactly.
play his type of game. And that's what annoyed me the most about Obi Toppin this season. Not necessarily him, but the way he's used. He's basically used
yeah.
like a small forward. He can't operate in the pinch post because we have Taj Gibson and we have Nerlens Noel,
yeah.
so it's no space. And him and Julius Randle play the same goddamn position. So, I'm with you, bro. I hate the Randle and
yeah.
Obi Toppin pairing on the court. It is stupid.
Yeah.
And I hate it. But a small sample size, according to NBA stats, opponents are shooting a minuscule 43.8% when Toppin is defending the rim. And
yeah, that is one.
I
mean, small sample size, but he has looked like a promising defender in the minutes that he does play.
And that's one thing I'm gonna agree with you. I never thought that Obi would play this type of defense. He's better than advertised. He's way better than what I expected. Shit, I thought RJ Barrett was a horrible defender.
Yeah, he is an elite wing defender. And the Knicks are the top defense in the league, and he's one of the best defenders on the team. It's pretty impressive.
Yes, and Obi Toppin is blocking 1.5% of opponent shot attempts, which ranks 80%, which ranks in the 80th percentile in NBA big. So that's very
right.
impressive for Obi Toppin. He's shooting 48% from the field. He's shooting 29% from three. And, you know, hindsight would tell us, you know,
yeah.
you pick another guy. Randle's
yeah.
an all-star. You pick another guy. But at the same time, do you see a role for him on the Knicks in the future? Like, do you see a way where we can maximize his talent and what he brings to us? Because I'm watching Cam Johnson
yeah.
over there on the Suns. Granted, they got
yeah.
Chris Paul.
That's someone I wanted. I wanted the Knicks to get Chris Paul so bad this summer. I thought that made so much sense. But, yeah.
It did. It's okay.
Yeah,
we got Derrick Rose, man. But, you know, Obi Toppin is a guy that, you know, a lot of people didn't like the pick. I love the pick personally. At first, I didn't want Obi, but you know we got Obi,
right.
so I'm gonna support him. But at the end of the day, how can I ask you this? What do you think the Knicks gonna do ultimately with this Obi Toppin Julius Randle thing?
I mean, it all depends on what they were thinking about Randle when they made this pick. If they drafted this guy to be Julius's replacement, then it makes sense. But if they're keeping Julius, then it puts Obi in a tough spot. I mean, I don't know. I think you made a good point about how he does play really well out of the pick and roll. And a lot of times he's open on those when he's cutting to the basket. He's open for those alley-oops, and they're just not really looking for him as much. I don't know. I think him and IQ play well together when they're out there. I don't think we've seen enough to really be able to make a definitive statement on what his role is going to be going forward. I think he's got to get more because he sometimes out there on offense he just looks a little lost or awkward with the ball, like he doesn't really know what he's doing. But at the same time, that comes with reps, and if he's not getting reps, he's going to look like that every time he gets the ball. So, I don't know. I think we'll know more the more he plays.
No, he's gonna learn more as he plays.
I know.
At 23 years old. Yeah. Ring an endorsement.
Seriously.
Oh, God, man.
I do have high hopes. I'm not trying to be negative. I think he's going to be a very good player, and he's going to be a good Nick. But I just need to see how they're going to make this one work.
Yes, because under the current CBA, you know, Randle has a final non-guaranteed year, and the Knicks can give they can basically offer him a 4-year, $106 million contract. So they're going to have to sit down at that big table and talk, because it is no way in hell, and it's just for me personally, I don't see – the only way I can see Randle and Obi staying – both being here long-term is
Obi would have to change. And they didn't draft him to make him change his game.
So that's a tough one, bro. That is a tough one. Kevin Knox, off the forehead. My young boy shooting 39% from three. Still shooting under 40% from the field goal range. What's your thoughts on Kevin Knox this season? For me personally, I think that Knox should just sit. If he's ready, call on his name, but I don't think he's ready yet. I think he needs to watch the game. I think he needs to understand what Tibbs needs. Two things. I want him to pick up Alec Burks aggressiveness coming off the pick and roll. Knox does not do that. He looks like a Darren Headlights coming out of the pick and roll. So pick up Burks aggressiveness. And from Reggie Bullock, you know, I think Bullock trash. Bullock is great.
He is. Like, that is one good part of his game. He's always moving off ball.
Always. And he's always talking. He's always communicating. He's always, you know, defending. He's always got his hands up on shooters.
Yeah.
And those are the little things that Knox don't do.
Yeah.
That I get annoyed with Knox. But I know he got a lot of potential. He got a really high ceiling if he could just unlock it his goddamn self.
I think that was a big question going into this season when we Knicks fans didn't really have high expectations. We were like, this is kind of not a make or break year for Kevin Knox, but you kind of hope to see something from him. And I thought starting out the season, he was playing great, you know, like he was hitting his corner threes, Kevin Corner.
Corner Kev.
He was playing good defense, I thought. I just thought ultimately he's still so young, but I think he just needs to create more for himself off the dribble, and that's kind of what he can't do, which is why he was that corner three guy. I think he saw that as a way for him to get minutes, and he worked on his corner three shooting, and it worked out. He's a great shooter from there now, but if that's all he's really providing, I think it's going to be tough for him to get minutes over guys who can kind of handle the ball more. And I think that's ultimately his issue.
Yo, you know what's crazy? As you're saying that, I was thinking about it too. Like, damn, Knox's dribble is horrible.
It's not pretty.
It is. Yo, you dead right. His dribble is disgusting.
Like,
to look at.
he's a catch and shoot type guy, and I don't know. I think for his position and with the other guys on this team, at least, he's got to be able to create more.
The one thing that I will say is that we don't got to make a decision on him yet. He's in year three, you know, of his rookie deal. People wanted to give up on him this season. I'm telling people, whoa, whoa, whoa now. We seen Thibodeau fix Frank Ntilikina. He fixed Julius Randle. He fixed RJ Barrett. He kind of fixed Mitchell Robinson. Matter of fact, that's who I want to get into next. Matter of fact, let's put both of the 2018 draft picks together. You know, and he fixed Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson, advanced statistics, Mitch and Frank is God. Yeah. Stat nerds who love analytics. If you love
analytics, so
you're going to love Mitchell Robinson's numbers. And Mitch is a hell of a defender. Knox can be a guy who could come defend. And shout out to the management, too, because our draft picks, all of them seem to be capable of doing something on defense.
Yeah.
And I really like that. But how do you feel about Mitchell Robinson this season? Shout out to Money.
I know. I
can't wait till he come back on the court. My only gripe with Mitch, bro.
I know.
He don't shoot the ball. I don't punch him in his face, bro.
Yeah. Like, I mean, before his injury, he was playing great. It was awesome to see because the whole thing with my past complaints with Mitch Rob was that he could never start because he got in foul trouble too much. And then this season comes around, he's starting, he's staying out of foul trouble, and playing great defense, like you said. He was really coming into his own. I think you're right. He is a little limited on offense. Not super limited, I mean, compared to other centers. But it seems he works best in this offense when he's catching lobs or getting, like, putbacks. He doesn't seem like he creates his own shots enough, but that's not really what they're asking him to do. But, like right. I always say, he's not the only NBA player who does this. But in the summer when he posts those videos of him in the gym, like, shooting threes, like, ball handling, taking the ball up and pulling up. Like, when can we just see some of that? There was some game we were up big, and, like, he had the ball all alone on the perimeter. And I was like, dude, just do it. What are you – like, what's there to lose? Just show us. We want to see it. Yeah.
It was this season? I think – damn, and he caught – I think RJ passing the ball.
Yeah.
It was two games that happened, I believe. But it was one of the games, I think it was against Atlanta early in the season. It was either Atlanta – I don't know, but it was a team that had a red uniform and Mitch did not want to shoot the goddamn
ball. I know. And I remember I was tweeting on the Knicks Wall account, and I said – I was like, why – like, just shoot, like – come on, just shoot. And all the people, and I referenced the videos from the summer, and everyone was in the mentions like, bro, never take those videos for what they're worth. Those are all trash. Like, and I was like, yeah, you know what? These people might be right. Maybe Mitch is just doing that to mess with us.
Think about it, bro. We watched Dennis Smith Jr. the whole 2019 summer.
Oh, man.
Put out videos. And this guy, oh, God, this guy here. I hated Dennis Smith Jr. real quick. I was disgusted with him since the first game of last season when he didn't dap up Frank Ntilikina when the crowd was chanting, "We want Frank," and he was walking through the bench. I'm still salty.
No one comes to the Knicks and disrespects Frank like that.
Nah, bro. But, you know, and real quick on Mitchell Robinson, and I'm going to put Frank Ntilikina as well in this question. Would you re-sign them both and break the Charlie Ward curse of 1994 this offseason?
Definitely re-sign. I mean, I like Frank as a fan. I'm a Frank Matt fan more than a Mitch fan, but I think it's obviously easier to make the argument for Mitch more so than Frank. I would re-sign them both. I think you could bring back Frank on something like 4 years, like 32 million, something in that range. I don't know if you want to commit to him as like your 3-and-D guy, and let Bullock go his own way. And I mean, because some of these vets are going to go, I wouldn't be opposed to bringing back Frank if the price was right. And I don't think you gotta bring back Frank. Really hope they do. But that seems like it is a little up in the air, but I can't see them not re-signing Mitchell Robinson. I think the fans would be very upset if Mitchell Robinson was not re-signed.
Mitch. How do you think they?
Yeah, true. Frank get the ultimate cult. The ultimate cult fan base. But, Frank Ntilikina fans.
Oh God. And I ask you that because I think the most Mitch could get is a 4-year, $60 million contract. And I would pay right now, Frank Ntilikina, I would give him 4 years, $44 million. Yeah. Right now. I looked at free agency, and I'm like, what's my criteria? What do I want? If I'm letting Frank go, I want a young guy who's under 24 years old, who's a better defender than Frank. And we know goddamn well ain't no 22-year-old and under guy a better defender than Frank. And I want a guy who can shoot and who is unselfish. I looked at the free agency list, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't see not a damn thing. Now, Mitch, you could get guys, people would say this, you could get a center off the street. A center is basically like a running back in the NFL, right? But I don't see a center in the NBA. Probably Anthony Davis when they move him to the center. But I don't see no other center who can actually guard the perimeter. Rudy Gobert, prime example. I didn't watch this man for the past 4 straight years get played off the floor in playoff games because he can't shoot.
Yeah.
Well, I literally watched it. Another guy, Andre Drummond.
Oh, God.
Everybody wants right now for some odd reason. Yeah, bro. I don't give a damn.
I'm good. I am good on Andre Drummond.
I'm more good on Andre Drummond, bro. It's like pork. When I hear Andre Drummond, it reminds me of pork. Like I'm good. I don't need that. So you know, I'm throwing that stuff out there to just say, you know, Mitchell Robinson is important. Chemistry is very important. We drafted a lot of guys who've played together for a couple of years now. Right. And I feel like we need to build on that. So that's why I had to ask you that question.
I mean, I'd bring back both. But I don't know how the front office thinks, but I think with Mitch, like you were to go off what you were saying, like, oh, you can get a center off the street. I think more people are starting to say things like that now because of how well Nerlens Noel has played in Mitchell's absence.
Very true.
But again, I mean, I'm saying Mitch is somewhat limited on offense. Nerlens Noel is – he can't catch the ball. I mean, there's already – Mitch is already a better center on offense than Noel. So,
you know, Nerlens remind me of.
Yeah.
You ever watch Thor?
Yes.
Did you watch Thor Ragnarok? Remember the guy, the stone guy with the stone hands? He had the bug.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is my buddy.
I saw a picture of him on Twitter with ping pong paddles photoshopped on his hands.
Oh God! Oh, this guy here, man. Yeah, Nerlens has been playing very well. I think he's top five in defensive plus minus.
Yeah, he is a beast on defense.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like we both said, that boy is terrible to the point. I'm banging the table. Don't get Boogie Cousins ASAP. I'm sick of this.
Mm-hmm.
Go trade for Mo Bamba. I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
Like little stuff like that. Dude, he'd be pissing me off with. But shout out to Nerlens.
Yeah, and he's playing a lot of minutes, especially those last couple games before the All-Star break. He was getting a lot of minutes. And he was holding his own, I thought.
Yeah. He's playing a lot of minutes. I gotta appreciate vets like that. I wouldn't mind if the Knicks re-signed Nerlens, but I think they should move on. I think they should get a center who is the opposite of Mitch. And what I mean by that is get me a guy who could space the goddamn floor. If Mitch not gonna do it, can you give me somebody to offset him not spacing the floor.
That's yeah, I kind of agree with you there. Someone who is at least a threat to shoot from outside the paint.
Thank you. Please, bro.
Yeah.
I can't do the Taj Gibson thing. The Mitchell Nerlens thing, okay, it's cool, it's funny, but next season is money time, and I need them to get this roster together as far as the
complete agree
and shooting is concerned. So, you know, finally,
yes,
you know, we get into RJ Barrett. Now, I've been on a bunch of pods. Shout outs to my guy Uncle Freezy. Shout outs to my guy Ron Cleveland. Man. Everybody who live streams on YouTube, I appreciate all of you guys. CK2K, my guy, shout outs to you. I was watching a live one day, like 2 months ago, and some guy said, RJ Barrett needs to go to the G League.
Oh, man.
RJ was in the midst of a 1-21 3-point slump. He was shooting disgusting. It was absolutely terrible. So now we looking at RJ Barrett, right? And the boy has completely turned around his shooting. He is shooting very impressive from three. He's shooting actually 45% from three his last couple of games. And since January 1st, RJ's shooting 40% plus from three. And RJ, another stat that randomly came to my mind. These stats are crazy. RJ has been assisted on 48% of his 3-point makes. From who?
Yep.
Julius Randle. And it's beautiful to watch RJ Barrett's development. The one thing, bro, and I really want you to talk about this, because I be thinking to myself, like, damn, like, do anybody else notice this about this kid? But RJ Barrett's defense, bro, his defense is the one. I think that's what I love about him the most, is he competes defensively and his rebounding is superb. And I believe he has the highest defensive plus minus on the team right now. How do you feel about RJ Barrett so far in this season so far? But mainly
his defense was great. Not great. It was good as a rookie. Like, that was a very promising thing we saw in his rookie season. So I think naturally with a coach like Thibs, he's gonna maximize his defensive potential. And I think you're seeing that from RJ, kind of like I was saying earlier. He is an elite wing perimeter defender and on the top defensive team in the league. So that's no joke. So I mean, and in terms of non-defense, like, the sky's the limit for him. I mean, he's only 20. To me, he's the most exciting prospect on this team. I think people forget his age sometimes, and every game he's grown before our eyes, and his evolution from last season I think is really important. Like, I remember last season, one of the most frustrating things about his game was his free throw shooting. He was like 60% from the line. And for someone who last season wasn't a terrific outside shooter, he was getting to the line when he was driving to the basket a lot. And if he's not making those free throws, that's a huge part of his game he was missing out on. But now in this season, he's shooting like 75%. So he's already shown that he can make these improvements in the off season. I mean, that's just free throw shooting and his overall shooting too. So we know he's putting in the work and working on his shooting. And I think he's just going to keep developing. Like, if you take away that one stretch that you talked about where he missed like 18 threes in a row or something, he's been a much improved 3-point shooter. Like I was talking about earlier, he's an elite defender. And I think that kind of gets overlooked sometimes. He's very valuable on the defensive end.
So since, you know, January 1st, 2021, RJ Barrett is shooting 40.4% from deep in 32 games since January 1st. RJ Barrett, last 26 games, he's averaging 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists on 48% field goal percentage, 47% from 3. 76% from the free throw line with a 57% true shooting percentage.
Yeah.
The kid is only 20. Whoever was making these jokes about Tyler Hero better than RJ Barrett should be banished. You should be sent to Rikers Island and then sent up north. And you need to be locked
away. Same goes for who was telling him to go to the G League.
Oh my goodness, bro. Oh God. I got when I get a chance, I'm gonna send you that clip. I don't know
where. I've seen that clip. I know what you're talking about.
And, you know, RJ Barrett as the number three overall pick. You know, I watched a lot of number three overall picks in my lifetime. And, you know, you got guys like Jaylen Brown. You got Tatum. You got a bunch of guys. You know, Luka Doncic. You know, the one game where I said, okay, RJ Barrett is growing before my eyes. Do you remember the Indiana game? A couple of games before All-Star break, before we started All-Star break. And we couldn't score. So RJ Barrett comes in the game with at the 4 minute 38 second mark. You know, RJ Barrett we're talking about here. He makes a 3-pointer, he makes an and-one layup, makes a free throw, defensive rebound, assist, then he makes another driving layup, and he iced the game for us against the Indiana Pacers. And I remember that game a lot because Randle and Sabonis, they just didn't have it that game. Even though Randle still played kind of well, RJ Barrett was
the player. And I remember seeing that. I remember saying to myself, RJ Barrett just closed out this win for us, and he's 20 years old. This man is the truth. He is the future. And he owns the Pacers. Whenever the Knicks play the Pacers, RJ goes off. I think it was the first game of the season when they lost, but RJ had like 25. It was a huge game, and he for some reason he shows out against the Pacers. I love it,
bro. I think he's averaging a career high against the Pacers, and like every game he plays the Pacers, I know for sure. Yeah, Barrett's going to get 20. and remember that game, Barrett was slumping like for like 2-3 straight games. Yeah. Barrett was slumping, you know, 12 points, 11 points. Then he sees Indiana. Okay, right. Time to get my game back up. And another thing about RJ Barrett is the playmaking. His playmaking has improved, right? He's finding teammates in the right spots. This season, 88% of his assists have set up shots at the rim or threes for the Knicks. Extremely impressive. I want to know, what's your comp for RJ Barrett? I compared him to, and I don't want to sound crazy, bro, when I say this. I want to be respectful when I say this. But I compare RJ Barrett to Brandon Roy. People are like, oh, Brandon Roy, he got the handle. What you talking about, Brandon? You got to remember, rookie, sophomore year, Brandon Roy. He didn't have the handle. But you can see the consistency of his game, and they just mirror each other to me. So I got Brandon Roy and RJ Barrett. Also reminds me of Jalen Rose.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say Jalen Rose or Paul Pierce.
Ooh,
I hate Paul Pierce, but they kind of have a somewhat similar game if you think about it. I mean, Paul Pierce wasn't like a great shooter, but he was a great finisher at the rim, and he could always get to the rim. And I think that is RJ's strength right now, getting to the rim, and he's a great finisher. I don't know. That's the first one that came to mind. Maybe a Penny comparison could be made, but I don't know. I think I like my Paul Pierce comp the most.
Yeah, that's a good comp. Matter of fact, when I get home tonight, I'm going to look at some highlights just to make sure. In December, RJ Barrett was shooting 12% from three. January, he's shooting 35% from three. February, shooting 53% from three. Oh, yep. RJ Barrett is coming alive. And I told people during the season, and I want you to tell me if I'm crazy or not, I told people I'd rather have RJ Barrett than John Morant and Zion Williamson long term. He's a better defender than both. May not be as flashy, but yeah. I know he's going to last longer, and I know he's going to be able to develop the skills in order to become elite. Am I going crazy off the ledge? A little homerism?
No, I don't think that's. I don't think that's true. I mean, he's going to forever be compared to those two, because of how solid that draft class, that top three was. I mean, I think Zion is.
Yeah.
It's tough to compare anyone to Zion because, I mean, he's an all-star in his second year. He's I think he's averaging, what, like 25 or?
Zion is different. I think, like, 24.
Yeah, I mean, that man is like a beast. Seven. Yeah, he's averaging 25 and 7. And he missed, like, almost half of last season. I don't know. He's special. But yeah, I do think you can make the argument of him long term over Ja. RJ's a little more of a full package than Ja, I think, on defense. But he's also really special on offense too. So yeah, I don't think it's crazy. I don't Love think it's Ja. Crazy of you to say that. You can definitely make that argument.
So, RJ Barrett, hopefully I got him right now currently as a future number two option, championship option, which he is right now. He's the number two option on the Knicks right now. Do you think he has superstar potential? Do you think he has Jaylen Brown? Can he get to where Jaylen Brown is at right now? 27 points per game. Is that possible within the next 2 years?
I really think so. Can you see that? And this is hoping that his point guard of the future is Emmanuel Quickly. But I think in the next two seasons, if we got IQ and RJ starting, I think the sky's the limit for him. I mean, he's only 20 right now in his second season, and he's made all these improvements just in one off season. I'm thinking either next year or the year after All-Star for RJ. That's what I think personally. I think his shooting is only going to get better. And I think Jaylen Brown is a good comp, like you were saying. He's going to just keep developing and keep getting better. I think either next year or the year after, we're getting an all-star out of him.
I think you're being a little soft. I think you got to put some more pressure on RJ Barrett. I think you need to expect that next season. Because if we make the playoffs, bro, I'm not accepting less than 20 points from RJ in the All-Star appearance.
Yeah, and you shouldn't.
I refuse to.
If you're an All-Star and you're that guy on the team, you got to show. I mean, here we are talking about the playoffs, and we're not even there yet. But that's the kind of guy you want to be able to count on in big games for your squad. And I think RJ is fully capable of being that guy for the Knicks.
So, I love RJ Barrett, man. I love what the Knicks is doing. I love that we had to talk about the whole goddamn roster. Shout out to Alec.
Oh, man.
We both know he's great. Alec Brooks and these guys. Before I get you out of here, I just wanted to ask you this last thing. Trade deadline is coming up, March 23rd. And we're going to have some tough decisions to make. And that decision will be, who are we going to keep on this roster? Who are we going to let go? If you're not going to re-sign Frank, I would advise the Knicks to trade him at the trade deadline. But I want the Knicks to do trades, but I want them to trade for specific type of players. I have three players in mind, and I wanted you to say three players that you had in mind.
I've got my three down.
I wrote that to you. Okay, perfect. So, these trade targets that we got, it's just for me personally. I like the age, I like the timeline, and I like what they could bring for us. So, my three guys, I got Lonzo Ball, who's currently having career highs across the board this season. People say he couldn't shoot.
He really turned it on at the end
from three
before the All-Star break. He played real well.
And, you know, that's my first guy. My second guy, I already told you, I want Mo Bamba. I really want Mo Bamba with Mitchell Robinson. He can space the floor. He can block shots.
And he's young. And he's young.
From New York, right from Harlem. Young. These guys young, and they fit the timeline. But I got one more. And I was thinking about it. And I know you might be like, come on, man. Why you got to say that guy? But I'm going to say
he's one of the guys I've got down. I agree with you.
But, okay, boom. But when I say Victor Oladipo, right, I'm trading for him, and I'm giving them the shittiest trade package they can
he's
ever
gone.
Receive.
He's gone.
Because he's leaving. He is gone. So if you want to take, you know, take your little Alec Burks, you know, you can take Austin Rivers back, you know. But you wanna pick? Okay, we can lottery protect a future first. Or we could give you 2 seconds and cash consideration.
Lord knows we've got the second round picks. We've got so many draft picks, it's crazy.
And my reasoning for Victor Oladipo and the other two guys, if the Knicks really want to make the playoffs, we have to make a change in the roster, specifically where the wings is at. I would like another ball mover, a competent ball mover, or I would like a big that can space the floor and protect the rim. That's why I wanted Mo Bamba. Or, you know, I just told you I wanted a ball mover, a guy who could play make, who could make his own shots, who could get his own shots. Lonzo Ball doesn't really fit the bill, but I know Lonzo Ball could probably get his own shot. Also, Lonzo Ball is a superb three-point shooter. I don't know how the hell he changed. It's called work ethic, people. That's straight work ethic from him. And Victor Oladipo, even though he's shooting like shit from the field goal range, you know, he's still a productive guy.
I've got Oladipo, like you. So the thing with Oladipo is, if they were to trade, like you said, we give them the shittiest trade package they've ever seen. But I do think a big part of it is if you trade for Oladipo, I would prefer them to give him a contract when they make that trade, rather than him just being a half season rental. I don't know if he's worth the assets, no matter how shitty the assets are, for a half season rental and for him to just go sign with the Miami Heat, which is what it kind of sounds like he's going to do at the end of this season. So that's my Oladipo take. So that's one. My second guy is Buddy Hield from the Kings.
That's my guy, Buddy.
I've always loved Buddy ever since college. I've been a big Buddy Hield fan. And, I mean, he had the past two seasons before this. And this year, I think he's averaging like 16. So he's having a down year, but he's a great three-point shooter. He's a competent ball handler. The Kings suck. I think I don't know if he's available or if he's on the market, but if he was and I was the Knicks, I would be checking on him. So that's two. And then my third, I don't know how you're going to feel about this. Obviously, the assets would be crazy, but we've been kind of pumping this at Knicks Wall for a little bit. Bradley Beal, if Bradley Beal was available, I would give. And I know whenever I mention this, Knicks fans are always like, "Oh, it's going to be just like Carmelo. We're going to give up all the assets and be screwed and not be able to surround him with one." But if you really think about it, when the Knicks made that Carmelo trade, they didn't have all the house money that they have right now. The Knicks have so much draft capital, so much cap space. If there was ever a time to send the ranch for a player and absolutely cash out, I think Bradley is the guy. I know that's not the most popular take among Knicks fans, because you gotta give to get. But if Bradley Beal,
what's your Beal trade?
If I were to
stop you right there, what's your
if I were trade? To trade for Beal, you probably so you give the Dallas pick. Gotta send the Dallas pick.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, maybe send the Dallas pick and then two more firsts, like the next two seasons, and then maybe Knox, Frank, Mitch. I don't know. I mean, I think the only guys off the table would be RJ and Julius. Yeah. So, I mean, like, maybe a package like three firsts. Knox and Obi or something like that. I don't know. But again, it's a popular trade package among Knicks fans, but dude puts up like 30 a night. And you got to give to – I've been a Bradley Beal fan. I would love to see him in the Garden, but I doubt we see it.
So I'm going to throw a trade at you. As far as Bradley Beal is concerned, you know, as you was talking, you know, I flashback Isaiah Thomas real quick, Scott Layden. So my fault. You know, as far as Bradley Beal is concerned, I'm gonna try to be realistic. I'm not trying to give him RJ Barrett, right? Julius Randle, I don't believe the Knicks fan base will allow Leon Rose to trade Randle.
Yeah,
an all star for an all star. I don't think it's allowed right now. So, for me personally, I would give them. Damn, this is tough. What I'm about to say, you could take Mitch, you could take Obi, you could take Knox.
Yeah, I think
that's three young boys.
And I was just gonna say, I think two, three players would probably be the most they'd send, if all hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically, okay. So now we got three guys on the table. They might ask for Emmanuel quickly, and they might ask for RJ Barrett. So that's when things get tricky. But to offset that, you said three first round picks. So you know, of course, you will have to give up both Dallas picks. Like, of course. Okay. So now the Knicks picks. I would give them the 2022 pick.
Yeah, you could, I mean, it's got to. If you're trading for Bradley Beal, you're trying to win now, so you got to. That's got to be an unprotected pick.
It's tough, bro. It's tough. Like, I would love to get Bradley Beal, but I'm not really trying to break up this young team.
Yeah, and you make a good point. A lot of times when people craft up these wild trades, no one takes chemistry into consideration. And that is something that this team clearly has. So there's definitely something to be said for keeping these guys together.
For sure. Like, you see guys like Charles Oakley who's coming on these shows, and he's like, oh, well, you know, Pat was a diva. I didn't like the way he won. And, you know, if Pat would have did his job,
that's so
the Rockets. Was, get the fuck out of here.
Almost, that was almost 30 years ago. Like, come on.
Get the fuck out of here, Oakley, with that nonsense, man. Come on, man. Come on. But, you know, do you think we're going to make a trade?
Honestly, that's the thing. There's not really an ideal candidate for the Knicks right now. Like, I don't think they should force a trade if they don't need to make one. And my gut feeling is they're not going to make a trade. But I don't know. I saw some people, maybe not for the names that we mentioned, like someone of that magnitude. But I heard some people today talking about like Terrence Ross. Mm-hmm. Or like a player of his caliber, I could see them maybe making a move for someone like that. But in terms of like a big name player, like Oladipo, Buddy Hield, or Bradley Beal, I don't know. I don't know if I see that happening. Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross, Mo Bamba for Alec Burks, Rivers, Kevin Knox, and I think I might give you a second. I think that's a trade that the Knicks can do.
Yeah.
It will actually benefit both teams, right? Knox is from Florida. You send him back home, right? Burks, I don't give a damn about Burks. Rivers, I don't give a damn about Rivers. But you send Knox back home. We're giving you compensation, a second round pick or whatever. You know, might have to give him some money. Might have to give him a future protected first. No problem. I understand. We got a billion first round picks. We got seven first round picks in the next for the next 5 years. So you send him that. Now you're getting back Terrence Ross and Mo Bamba. Another guy, my guy Chris, he be on Twitter. Great guy, cool dude.
Right, he there are a lot of Knicks fans on that train. Yeah, neither would I, honestly.
And I wouldn't mind him either because guess who he played with? Frank Ntilikina. So I damn sure wouldn't mind Evan Fournier. But are you sure? Those are your three targets. And is you sure that the Knicks
I don't think they'll trade for any of the guys that I just mentioned. I could see them trading for a player that is kind of like Alec Burks' caliber, like someone who's just like can come in and be a shooter. I think Terrence Ross kind of fits that role, maybe a little higher than Burks, but that's the kind of player I see them trading for. Like giving up a couple second round picks or something for a guy like that. But I just don't see them trading for a big name dude. Maybe in the offseason. Yeah, that's
man,
true.
The offseason. I don't even want to talk about the offseason yet. When we get there, I'm definitely going to have you on the pod again. And we definitely going to talk about that. Because this offseason is moment defining. This offseason is the most important offseason of the Knicks.
You're not wrong.
In the past like 30 years. Easily. 30 years. So, in order for us to right this ship, they have to get this offseason correct. And hopefully they don't make me nervous like they used to do. You know, trading first round picks, you know, Carmelo Anthony. I love you, Carmelo Anthony. But I sat in a playoff game. I watched Donovan Mitchell score 57. And I'm thinking about Frank Ntilikina at each point he made. And I watched Jamal Murray score 50 points. And every point he scored, I thought about the Carmelo Anthony trade.
That's true. It's tough. And that's Knicks fans are scarred. And understandably so. Even before Carmelo, like in the beginning of the show when you were talking about Isaiah. Like, Knicks fans have every reason to be scarred. So I don't blame the people who disagree with me on Bradley Beal. But I just think that sometimes they've got the capital, they've got some house money, as I said. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world.
Very true. Well, my guy, Pat, you know, I'm going to let you get out of here. You know, it's been a minute. You know, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, man.
Great conversation, by the way, brother. A lot of stuff that we got into. You know, I want you to let the people know where they can find you, what you got coming out next, you know, articles, pods, anything. Like, let the people know where they can find you directly, most of all, so they can see your work.
Right. So, thanks for having me on, man. If you guys want more, make sure you're following Knicks Wall on Twitter and Knicks Wall on IG. I run the Instagram and I help out on the Twitter, tweeting games here and there. We've got some, it's all-star break right now, but we've got a ton of content coming out after the break. We've got some pods dropping, exciting stuff going on at Knicks Wall. So make sure you're following, and my personal Twitter, PJC708. If you guys want some of my personal content, that's where you can find me.
Yo, Pat, huge shout outs to you, bro. Really appreciate you coming on the show again. Keep working hard, bro. Keep at it. You know, it's people like you. You know, I watch your work from Knicks Wall. You know, I read articles from there. I listen to y'all podcast. And salute, man. I appreciate the work that you've done so far, man.
Yeah.
Knick Nation. Anytime, bro. Anytime. Knick Nation, I'm out of here. Your boy State of the New York Knicks podcast. Once again, episode 137 with my guy, Pat from Knicks Wall. Salute to y'all. I'm out.